And not only do you got me, Michael Tech Talk Counselor, but I think Mr. Dave Sparky Saganaki.
Sparks is here. Good morning, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. There he is. There he is. Good morning. Man, I hope it's a good morning for you. I'm a little tired out. I'm a little exhausted. I stayed up too late last night. So
that's easy to do. You know, when you're a little geeky about the internet or whatever, your various interests,
yep.
It's easy to burn the midnight oil these days.
That was exactly it. I got home. I was out helping out. A local church needed some assistance with tech stuff and some audio setup things, and they made the mistake of entrusting me with that. And I got home, and I just wasn't tired. So I sat down and started playing Hearthstone again because, you know, I can't beat my son anymore. He's 14, and he's got all the good cards, you know, and so I needed to step it up, I thought, and before I knew it, it was about 1 a.m. And I'm an old man. I am an old man. I realize that now.
I feel so bad for you. So let's go home early.
I like it. I think that's a great idea. If we do go home early, though, don't forget your phone. I don't know if you heard about this, but our fearless leader, Mr. President Barack Obama, he dropped his BlackBerry. He left his BlackBerry behind. I mean, you know, who hasn't done that? But he got on board Marine One, which is the helicopter, in order to get on to a big piece of legislation that he was going to work on, and forgot his BlackBerry, made him come back, turn, you know, set down, and run back into the White House so that he could get it.
Stuff happens.
I know. I just, you know what? It's always funny though when it happens to famous people.
The people that we assume have their wits about them.
That's right. What do they say? The definition of comedy is when something bad happens to other people, and the definition of tragedy is when something bad happens to us. So,
very, very true.
Oh man. Speaking of the internet, I see, Dave, you discovered the internet this last week, and the Facebook too. You know, speaking as an old man, you discovered the Facebook. You're having fun, I see, with the individuals that you should just know at a glance. There's no discussion. You know, I got to tell listeners this. So Dave is realizing, I think, possibly the futility of trying to have a discussion with someone who types all of their posts in caps with. With exclamation points all over.
I'm actually not to complain that their keyboard's broken. Every once in a while, they take the caps lock off, which I think is a huge victory.
Okay, well, you know, okay, all right. If your goals are set to that level, then I applaud you, sir. I applaud you. Just keep the goals realistic.
Take the caps lock off once in a while.
Yeah, keep the goals realistic.
But it's actually good. It's good sport. Well, first of all, it's just these people, they are my friends, you know,
yeah.
quote unquote, on Facebook. So they're people I know and love and care about. And, and most of the time you just let the stuff roll by. But every once in a while it's like, hey. So lately, this past week, next week it'll probably change. But this week I've decided to enter my opinion.
I think that's fine. If anybody shouldn't be throwing stones sitting in my little Facebook argument glass house here, you know that's the truth. It's funny though, speaking of, like, you know, having these discussions and debates online, and I don't know what it is, but things can get so much more heated sometimes, but there is also too that opportunity and an avenue to present information that, you know, maybe you're not going to change someone's viewpoint radically, but at least add a little different color to the conversation than they would normally get. I have some friends that are very open to that, and that we although, you know, I don't know that either of us have ever convinced the other one of our point of view. We go just, you know, tooth and nail at it over and over and over again. But then we'll meet in real life and we'll have some beers and we'll laugh and we'll have a great time.
That's like, yeah, then you're afraid to say anything. I love something that you said a couple weeks ago on Facebook. It says it's a great way to manage your Christmas shopping budget by just talking about politics on Facebook.
That's right. That's right. We've saved a lot on Christmas presents this year. We're getting probably a few less too, but but that's all right. That's right. Yeah, just talk politics. Well, and my parents, we're gonna be seeing them for Thanksgiving, and so that's always between politics, religion, and I don't know what else we talk about. I think the only safe thing to talk about anymore is what are the good shows on Netflix this month, you know.
So. Oh, really? There's room for controversy there too. I mean.
Well, there is. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Yeah.
Well, to me, controversy kind of makes things interesting. And also, as far as Facebook debates, my goal has never been to change anybody else's mind. Maybe just to present some information that they might not have seen before. That's all.
Yeah,
and then make up your own mind. So some folks are unswayed by the facts.
No, yeah, yes, that is absolutely true. That took me, sadly, a very long time to understand. To really get that.
It doesn't bother me. Somebody, you know, the real popular phrase on the internet in some quarters these days is, "Oh, yeah, keep drinking the Kool-Aid," that kind of thing. You know, the reference to the Reverend Jim Jones in Guyana years ago, which most people probably don't even remember.
Yeah,
where it comes from, but. You know, and somebody said, "Oh, keep drinking the Kool-Aid." I said, "Oh, by Kool-Aid you mean facts?"
Exactly. So. Yeah, and I have to say, so, and we'll get on to actual tech news here in just a moment. But
sure.
But that really, you know, people ask sometimes. They're like, you know, you get so worked up about, you know, vaccine, you know, anti-vaccination people, and you get worked up about this or that. Why all these things? What it comes down to is what you just said. Is it just, it drives me crazy that people are so willing to ignore, you know, scientific consensus, body of evidence, just fact after fact after fact, and people just ignore it. And that just, it drives me crazy. That, I don't know why, I just, that just puts me over the edge sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's not new.
Yeah, I know.
It's just that it's in digital format.
It's easier. It's easier now, though. I think that's part of the problem. It's easy now to ignore the facts. It's easy now. We have. This is why it drives me crazy. We have access to, a truly ridiculous amount of information. It's easily at our fingertips. I'm sure you've heard of it, the internet. We've got that now, this thing that like could have not even dreamed of 50 years ago is there at our fingertips. And what do we do with it? We just use it to back up our own thoughts and ideas and ignore anything new that would come in front of us. And so,
but you know, before there was the internet, there were libraries, you know. I mean,
yeah, but
this is not information is and access to it is, you know, we don't live in the mountains, you know, we've had it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I think it's just quicker now, you know, that self,
yeah.
Self-confirming, reach for information that just supports what we want to believe for whatever reason. And you know, we can't really, at least if you're, you know, part of society and culture, and you refer to this, I mean, this is true for a while now, but you can't really claim, you know, ignorance anymore on a lot of these things. Or if you do, it's because you just didn't try. You know, if you're ignorant about something, it's because you just didn't try. You could find out the information and kind of follow it up. And that's why, you know, it's so important in education today. So I'm going to bring this over to my thing that I love to talk about anyways. In education today, that our librarians, our teachers, our media specialists, the individuals that are helping our children figure out this new source of information are tutored and trained themselves in what is a legitimate source and how do you discriminate and differentiate between facts and value and versus opinion and versus somebody's you know, cynical bias.
And you know, there's all kinds of bias, though. Even in sources that we recognize as absolutely rock solid, there's always cultural bias, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the U.S. history will always have a U.S. bias almost.
Yep.
Always.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and things like that. And that's where, you know, where it is important to have that open-mindedness that you can change your opinion based upon new information that becomes available. You know, I know as a society, you look at the Native Americans and how we've changed our view as, you know, incoming Americans have changed our views on them and who they are and what their culture is like and what we can do many, 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 many times. So,
yeah, it's too bad they didn't have a more strict immigration policy when we came, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know what happened? They gave us amnesty, and that was it. Then we took over. So
I don't think they had. I don't think they had. Let's go to the casino and ask.
And look what happened. And look what happened. So that's why I stand again. No, it was. I'm not even going to get into any of that. That would be. Hey, what about those drones at TGI Fridays? How about that for a segue?
Oh! I didn't know TGI Fridays had drones. That sounds great. Oh, I would love. They could get a drone can bring me wings.
Oh, I wish. I wish. No. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. No. So this Christmas season, though, if you go to TGI, now not TGI Fridays, unfortunately, here in America, but if you're in England and you go to a TGI Fridays, there are going to be a bevy of festive drones equipped with sprigs of mistletoe and cameras. And so the drones are going to fly around the room, and then they're going to hover over people that look kissable, I guess, and take videos of the ensuing hilarity.
Okay. All right.
So,
I'm not sure what to say about that.
I didn't either. I was hoping you did have something to say about that.
Well, thank God it's a TGI Fridays as opposed to a workplace, you know.
Yes.
You know, and what if people aren't interested or then what?
then
you have an apology drone, or
I guess that then you've got a very boring. And there's going to be an HD, TVs all over with the Kiss Cam. They're calling, so it's going to be like going to a major sports event, and you've seen the Kiss Cam, right? Where they do that at the sport event. So they're going to have that at the TGI Fridays. They're very optimistic about the possibilities of it, though, and in fact, they even think that perhaps by this time next year, they're going to have drones for the first mistletoe drone wedding. And be doing that at a TGI Fridays.
Mistletoe drone wedding.
Yeah.
See, I've been to the Round Lake TGI Fridays, and I haven't seen that many people I want to kiss there, frankly.
Yeah, no. I'm in Round Lake right now, and I. I'm looking around the studio.
You got that wing sauce on your lips. I mean, is that the most photogenic thing to do?
That is, that is a problem with this idea too, of course, is that, you know, you're at a restaurant, you're eating. That's not usually the best time to be macking, is when you're finishing off your mac and cheese, and then you get right into a mac, and then I don't know. Hey, they serve beer, I guess, enough beer and a couple of wine coolers, and
French fries and French kisses aren't, they don't necessarily go together.
You got a good point there. Victory, we're still calling them victory fries, aren't we? I don't know. But or is that just a
Has anybody ever apologized to the French for that whole thing? I don't know.
Probably not. Probably not. Yeah. That's okay, though. You know what? They don't need it.
So speaking of drones, and here's something that's maybe a little more of a practical use, although it hasn't been implemented yet. Facebook, they're looking to add to their drone team. Facebook wants everybody to have internet, so they're trying to perfect or develop solar-powered drones that'll fly around and give lots of people Wi-Fi that in areas of the world where they don't have it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. That's
so
cool.
You might apply. You know, you need to know something about drones, but
yeah.
Drone? You can go in there with your TGI Friday story.
There you go. Drone driver for Facebook. That's that would look good on the resume. I like it. And I've got a lot of joystick skills, so I bet I'd be all right. Now, why are they doing this with drones though? I mean, you know, we talked about last week with Mr. Garmin here on the phone about the issues right now with using drones as a coverage device because of battery life, durability, et cetera, et cetera. People shooting them out of the air, things like this. Do you have any idea how they're planning on overcoming some of those hurdles?
Solar power, mm-hmm. Long-term solar power. Google, of course, has an entirely different take on the same thing. They want to do it with high altitude balloons.
Yes.
They currently have the capacity to launch 20 balloons a day. My question is that what happens when this stuff breaks? And you're going to have a whole lot of trash falling from the sky, right?
Hopefully the technology they're putting up is at least to some degree biodegradable. I actually have seen biodegradable drone. They're not out in production yet, but a beta test of a biodegradable drone body made out of a pressed cardboard stock. I don't know. Google's got people driving all over with cameras on the roof, just taking pictures of the street. I imagine it wouldn't probably be that much more difficult for them to, when a balloon does fall out of the sky, follow that GPS signal, pick it up, and put it back into production.
Good point. Yeah, the other thing about drones is, lately, I don't know if you've been to a concert or a comedy show or anything lately. All the performers are complaining about how people don't watch the show anymore. What they do is they hold up their phones and even more offensively their tablets to take pictures and videos of the show. And it's extremely annoying. I'm wondering, as drones become more commonplace, what the heck are people going to be doing? You go to a wedding and there's going to be like 15, 20 drones hanging in the air and trying to take videos.
And running into people. Yeah, because people aren't going to be that good at using them. I do think, though, that is going to be a natural next step for the, professional photographer. The wedding events and other special events like that are big money, and rightfully so, and very important to the people that are experiencing them, and they want to get better pictures. So we're already starting to see, and in fact, I was only partially joking. I was being a little facetious about the running into people. There have actually already been some professional photographers who are using drones in their event photography, and there have been some rather hilarious accidents with them, and if you do a search on YouTube, you can hunt those down. But I think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get better and better. I see that too, though. I do see that with the phones and the tablet. You're holding a tablet up, and it's not like it's even your kid or something up there. I kind of get that. It's like, okay, fine, whatever, that's what you had and it's your child and you're doing it. But when you're out at a thing and your whole – that drives me crazy. The only thing that makes me almost more crazy is when you've got someone, 20 rows deep at a concert and it's a lit stage, dark audience, and then you got somebody taking pictures, picture after picture after picture with the flash. It's like, you really needed to see the back of my head? That's what you wanted to get a clear shot of, huh?
Well, not to mention that most tablets aren't that good for taking pictures or videos. And the other thing is, do we ever go back and watch this stuff?
Oh gosh, don't even get me started. I have this discussion with my wife about once a year when I want a big fight. We have boxes, literally boxes and boxes of, you know, and it's like a walk through tech history. You go and you're like, oh, yeah, look at these VHS tapes that we used with our VHS recorder. And then, oh, and then here's the eight-track tapes, or not the eight-track, what was the one after, the smaller format tapes. And now, of course, now it's all on, I literally have hard drives that I pulled out of the computer because we were going to replace the computer that have pictures on them or videos on them that I just... The answer, Dave, to your question is no. You never will. You maybe once, maybe one time. You'll look at them, you'll glance at it, go, oh, that was neat. You know, and that's it. It just goes away.
Well, maybe that's a gig for us. We could become archivists. We could go charge people. Give us all your, you know, storage devices, and we'll organize it for you.
Ah, well, you know, we did have a while ago now, but we did have a while ago a guy named Anderson Schoenrock on the air who had started a company called Scan Digital, which is doing quite well. And what they do is you can put all of those things in a box, pictures, videos, whatever it may be. They will take it, they will digitize it, they will make it available to you to either download or to grab on a CD or DVD. The other thing that's happening too is both Google and I think one other company now are making it easier for us to archive and retrieve information. You know, you can tag pictures that you take with the people that you see and so on, and that's been there for a while. And Google, in fact, is pretty good. Now, Picasa, we still use the Picasa desktop tool. It's pretty darn good at detecting faces and identifying who those people are in our pictures. But what they're doing now is they're coming up with a new thing that is not only going to identify people and faces, but also to start to describe what's happening in the picture. So they can detect someone laughing, someone running, you know, all these different actions and things that are happening, and it will automatically tag the pictures and videos for you. So you could do a quick and easy search like you're talking about. You know, hey, I wanted to see Adam at the Spelling Bee 2012. Instead of having to go through and try and find it, you just type those words in and boom, there it is.
That sounds great. You know, first of all, you couldn't pay me enough to do that, number one. Number two, I imagine it costs a fair bit. I'm not asking for a quote. I'm just saying that that sounds somewhat labor intensive. But the main point of etiquette, though, of somebody raising a tablet, it's one thing to take a picture, but to take a video, to hold a tablet up, blocking your view at an event you've paid, especially if you've paid to go to the event, then it's very frustrating. It's very bad manners, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, too, in our society, it's difficult to get up the nerve to tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, would you mind putting that down, please? But you just don't know what people are going to do these days. You really just don't.
That's the other thing. People don't. Yeah. We've changed. You know, we've become. You know, whoever started assertiveness training back in the day, you know, there needed to be a kindness component to that.
Yes,
that was missing from that training.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
But okay. Here's another use for tablets, or another idea about tablets that I'm not sure if we talked about this on air or not. Last time I flew out of Pearson Airport in Toronto, that all of the lounges around the gates, you know, you have seats around the gates usually, right? And they're usually kind of natty and tatty and not that great or whatever. Well, they've redone them all at Pearson Airports. They're all like a station. They're all like a media station now. They've got iPads. At every single seat has an iPad ready for you to use.
Yeah, you know, I've seen something similar at O'Hare. They have a bank of them, but I got the impression, and I didn't stop to check it out, but I got the impression that they were there for the only thing you could do on them was basic web surfing, and they also served you up a ton of ads. I didn't check it out, though. What are they being used for at Pearson?
I also was more than a little skeptical about it, all this. You can, and of course you can buy access to do more things with it, but there's also gambling apps, but the big thing is that they can be used for ordering food or whatever, that, or they can be used to interact with various vendors throughout the airport. It turns out it's a company called OTG Management, and they're not just doing it at one airport; they're doing it at many airports. Currently, they're working at the Newark Airport, Newark Liberty International Airport.
OTG, and I'm guessing that stands for on the ground, maybe.
I don't know. I have no. It doesn't. This article I'm looking at is not does not specify it. The article is from The Verge, by the way.
Okay.
A guy by the name of Josh Jaziza. Excuse me, I don't know. It's way too many consonants in the name. but it's a $120 million project it's not just about iPads. It's about new restaurants. There's 55 new restaurants, and you'll be able to and all the other shops as well. You'll be able to log in and create a profile, and then when you're there, rather than strolling around the airport trying to figure out what to buy or what to eat, they'll make recommendations to you about purchases and food.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. That's, that's not too bad then. Not a bad thing. Yeah, I'm looking at their website right now. They've got a few places. 2013, they actually, in fact, won the Best Innovative Consumer Experience Concept or Practice, second place, for the OTG Restaurant Program in Toronto's Pearson International Airport. So, very cool. No, that's interesting. That's interesting. You know, and I remember having discussions when I was at NEC with individuals there talking about ways, and in fact, the NEC corporate headquarters in Japan was very, very interested in looking at ways that kiosk environments such as this, which is exactly what we're talking about here, such as that, could be deployed into the airports and what the market case would be for that. And they were never able to really come up with a compelling way or a reason to do it. So it's interesting to see that this has actually become a thing. And apparently they found a way to not just do it, but to make money doing it, too.
Well, in theory, anyway. Over the next 18 months, they plan to install 6,000 iPads on tables, bars, and stations near waiting areas throughout. This is just United Airlines terminal at Newark. It's not even through the whole airport. Wow. Just 6,000 iPads in the United terminal. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it's probably not a bad model. They're probably getting, a cut of every meal that's purchased through the app or, you know, recommended through the app, that type of thing. And that may be enough to pay for all the hardware and upkeep. I don't know. I guess you'd need it at a very busy airport, obviously.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
If it fails, you'd be able to pick up a nice used iPad for a good price, probably.
There you go. Hey, I like that. Mine's getting a little rusty on the edges there. I need to.
Well, speaking of which, hey, Black Friday's coming up soon.
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got any big ticket items you're interested in getting, or any tips on any bargains?
Here my one tip from last week, people jumped on, so that was cool to hear about.
Yeah, that's right.
We talked about Walmart doing price matching to any Amazon thing, which of course, and the first thing out of my mouth when that came up was, well, gosh, I could make myself an Amazon page. Well, you know, why wouldn't I do that? And I'll buy some PS4s for $90. Sure, that's is that not exactly what happened? So that happened, and Walmart has now shut that loophole and said, no, you know, third party, et cetera, any type of auction, whatever sites, not going to be matching those. They also, too, I don't know if you would be aware of this, but there's a kind of a cool thing as well. If you do shop at Walmart and you feel like you missed out on one of the deals that you could have gotten or not, they actually have an app. There's an app called the Walmart Savings Catcher, both iOS and Android. And what you can do with it is not only can you scan barcodes wherever you're at and look at product reviews and get pricing information and all that, you can also scan your store receipt after you've already purchased stuff. And if there's products, if there are products on that receipt that have been advertised at a lower price by Walmart or any major competitor, Walmart will automatically send you the difference on an e-gift card, and you can redeem it anytime you want to.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's on Android and iOS, though, probably?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, both Android, iOS, the Walmart Savings Catcher. Me, personally, I'm a big fan of the Amazon app, so you can do kind of the same thing with that. You know, if you're out in a store, you got your Amazon app, you just snap it at the barcode of an item, and it will pop up the Amazon price. So I always do that when I'm out with anything that's, you know, going to cost me more than about $5 or so, because I just I don't want to pay a penny more than I have to, Dave. So
I know. Mr. Frugal. And another great thing about Amazon, you know, if the product is on Amazon, I love the user reviews on Amazon. That's always very helpful. You know, the legitimate ones anyway.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and there is and speaking of reviews, in fact, too, I know one of the really tough things to do during the season here is to find good toys for kids, especially if it's not your own kid. If it's your own kid, you kind of you know what they want, you know, that kind of thing, and all that. I guess even if it is, though, you want to make sure that you're getting a good quality product and one that's got good reviews. There is another app out there. It's called Shop for Kids, and what it does, same kind of thing. You scan it, and it brings up reviews from specifically from the Time to Play magazine. And that has information about how durable the toys are, how easy they are to set up, how long kids tend to play with them and still enjoy them, and things like that. And it also, too, does price compare those toys with the other major retailers.
So that's a huge pre-Black Friday tip. Well done, Michael.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Very cool.
I actually set up a little bit. I didn't spend all of last night playing Hearthstone. I actually thought, boy, if I'm going to be this tired, I don't want to have to think tomorrow. Let me write down some stuff. I'm going to put all links to all those apps. I will put them as the cool sites of the week link for this week. I'm still just a touch behind. I've actually almost caught up with our podcast. I'm throwing out an apology to listeners. If you are a podcast listener, I know we're still recovering from that PHP injection hack, and not because there's anything else going on with it. It took me enough time and effort that it slogged my whole workflow backwards, and so. But I'm back on top. Today will come out the podcast from last week, and so then we'll have this week's podcast out by midweek, which is getting us back on track.
Great. I'm sure our listeners are just starved for our show.
They're chomping at I don't want to hear about apps, Mike. We need more Mike. Yeah, we need more tech talk. Yeah, I'm sure that's happening.
Well, another thing, you know, in the Black Friday shopping vein, you've touted Chromebooks quite a bit in the past.
Yes. Yeah,
they're giving away a terabyte of Google Drive.
Yes, yes.
With Chromebooks now this season.
Yes, it's what I predicted this as well. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I predicted this now. I don't know if I predicted it on air, but we did talk about this. I told you last week or 2 weeks ago, the station has moved to Office 365, which is fantastic. And
it was kind of irresistible for not-for-profits. It's free.
It's free. Yes, and we have people that really needed that comfort zone of using a Microsoft app, and so this was a really wonderful way to get.
It's not just the comfort zone. You can say what you want about Microsoft and operating systems and everything else, but Office is the premier Office suite program there is, I think. Don't you? You think there's something better?
No. It's good stuff. Okay. I wouldn't argue with you. I would not debate that at all. It is the most complete and comprehensive tool out there to do all of the things that you want to do. And it is the standard, you know, not de facto at all. It is just the standard for
it's the gold standard, and you need Kruger Rands to actually purchase it. But
yep. But yeah. one of the things that I talked about was that they offer 1 terabyte of storage per user for all of their Office 365 user licenses, which includes us, which is awesome. So now Google's stepping it up and saying, hey, if you buy a Chromebook now, you will get 1 terabyte of free storage in your Google Drive, and you can use that. And then, so Microsoft now responds to that volley with a salvo of its own. All OneNote users, which is basically anybody, or OneDrive users, anybody that basically has a OneDrive account, free, paid Office 365 or not. If you have a OneDrive account, your storage space is just about to become unlimited. Limitless storage space. So,
oh my God. It's time to get out that box of storage devices that you haven't loaded all up.
Exactly.
By the way, there is a limitation on this Chromebook 1 terabyte deal. It's only for 24 months.
Yes. And then if you want to continue, you have to pay for it. You know, this stuff is getting so cheap, though, you kind of have to look at it and say, gosh, in 24 months, though, what are they going to be offering? You know, it used to be a terabyte of storage would cost you online, when these deals were first being started, would cost you upwards of $50 a month for these things. And it made some of the package deals that they were doing at the time very attractive, because you'd pay more for a laptop or a Chromebook, but you didn't have to pay for some of that storage space. But now it's all getting so cheap. I mean, I think, yeah, if you get a terabyte in it for 24 months, don't even worry about it, man. It's by the time you get to the end of that period, you probably have a petabyte and being offered with this stuff. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, who's got? I mean, a lot of stuff can be automated and all that, but still, you know, that's a lot of uploading. A terabyte of uploading is, you'd have to have some pretty good bandwidth for that not to get in the way of other things you were doing.
Yeah, well, but, you know, so it's interesting, though, too, with the Google offer right now. It comes at an interesting time for them as well. You're right. It's tough to think of how much you would have to upload in order to have a terabyte that you would put into storage. But having that being said, one of the things that do take up a lot of space, one of the things that does take up a lot of space, of course, is what we're talking about earlier, your videos. And the videos that people are getting, and they want to watch them at home. And so you've got your Plex, and you've got your Roku player, and you've got, you know, all these different ways, your Xbox, X Media Hub, that you can display it. One of the ways people can watch shows on their TVs is with the Google Chromecast, that little tab that sits in the back in the HDMI port of your TV. Well, of course, you can broadcast videos straight from your Chromebook, or even from your Google Drive storage. We'll actually take it and pull it right into that Chromecast. It's supposed to work very, very cleanly, very seamlessly now, and that might be part of the incentive for Google of adding this extra space, making it easier for people to get hooked into the Chromecast, but also, too, is definitely a very attractive reason to get a Chromecast and a Chromebook and get a terabyte of space from them and all that other great stuff.
Yeah. So I know that this might involve a change of subject slightly, but I know that Roku Box was one of your favorites not mm-hmm. long ago. Is that still the case for streaming? Well, has that evolved for you? Have you totally unplugged from cable?
Oh, yeah. No, we're done with cable. I'm not going back. We have not actually had cable, in fact, in our house, quite some time now. At least a year, anyways. We moved completely over to Roku first. And, I've got a subscription to Netflix, and we've got a subscription to Hulu as well. I also have a Chromecast, however, though it was cheap enough and I wanted it, so we got a Chromecast. and it's great. It does things for us that the Roku doesn't do as easily. And one of those is being able to broadcast directly from our Chromebook that we have, or from my laptop with Chrome installed on it, and some other things as well. Now, I also, too, though, have a Plex server that I set up in my house, and the Plex server is basically, it's a media server, so it allows me to broadcast media to my Roku box or to my Chromecast, any media that I've downloaded, including, movies, but also home videos, pictures, and things like this as well. Music and all that. So that's what I'm using right now. I have heard a lot of people talk about, of course, Apple's offering. The Kindle, Amazon now has also their own plug-in box for your TV, and it's
and what do they call? Don't they call theirs the Fire Stick or something like that?
Yes, yeah, that's right. I was searching for that. Yeah, the Kindle Fire Stick. And if you are an Amazon Prime user, supposedly this is it's great. The reviews I've heard of it are it's fantastic. Very easy to use. Very simple. It's priced appropriately for, you know, Amazon's model of not worrying about the cost of the hardware. They want you to be a consumer of the media, not of the hardware. And so you can pick it up and get it and move it along. I can put some links to that as well in the show this week for people that are looking for gifts for people. Are you an Amazon Prime member yourself, Dave?
No, not so far.
No. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't even say this out there. We game the system, my wife and I, a little bit. So you can get an Amazon Prime free 30 days trial about once every 2 years. Now, my wife and I both have our own personal Amazon account, so about this time of the year is when one of us says, "Yeah, okay, I'll get the trial." Because then I get the free 2-day shipping for all of our Christmas presents. and so we can make those last-minute Christmas buying decisions and not worry about it and all that. And then we cancel it after 30 days and don't pay the price for it. So so between that and telling people how to pull one over on Walmart, I think I've done my dirty deed for the holiday seasons this this year.
You're so kind. You're so kind. It's nice that you're helping out retailers and consumers with your advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to. Yeah, spread the love around. There are a lot of ways that you can work and you can save money. This holiday season. I know one thing though that you should avoid if you're in South Korea. Don't be buying one of those selfie sticks. I don't know if you heard of this. I know, Dave, you posted actually on the Facebook about a sad story about someone trying to take a selfie who then toppled over a bridge into the river and passed away. The South Korea is upset enough about this trend of selfies. And then there's also, too, have you seen these selfie sticks?
Yeah, are you talking about it's like a sort of like a tripod without the feet that you put your device on and hold it up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like a cane kind of thing. But yeah, you put your phone or whatever on it, and you hold it out away from you. It's Bluetooth equipped, so then you click a button on the bottom of the stick, and it takes the picture for you, and so you get these selfies. So. But the government in South Korea is not excited about it. So they're actually now going to jail people who sell these. Not just
is that South Korea or North Korea?
This is South Korea. I know. And in fact, on Friday they're going to begin doing checks on retailers. And I don't know what to think about this.
Somebody annoyed the wrong person. I mean, that's obvious. You know, don't you wish you had that kind of power? Somebody annoyed, like, for instance, somebody at a concert, you know, holds up a tablet and, you know, takes a 10-minute video obscuring several songs for you. Don't you wish you had that power? Just, okay, I'm banning tablets at concerts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would be a terrible dictator.
I know. I read your Facebook stuff too. Yeah, I know.
Oh man, yeah. I'd like to think that. Oh yes, if I was dictator, we'd be run by rationality and logic. Reality is, you'd all be just whims to my pet peeves. that's the only time I want to become a police officer is every time I drive. Whenever I'm driving, I'm like, I wish I was a police officer. I need to pull these guys over. He's not even using a signal. Yeah, don't get me started on my pet peeves of driving. You know, people not using their signal, or they turn it on like after they're turning. That I don't know why, but that one in particular just bugs.
I'm absolutely convinced that BMWs don't have turn signals.
Yeah, they didn't bother to put them in. I agree with you. Yeah.
And in Skokie, when I used to drive through Skokie a lot, I was sure that it was a village ordinance not to signal a left turn. I'm just absolutely positive of that.
Yeah, which is lovely when you're right behind somebody and all of a sudden they slow down and it's like they're going to stop in the middle of the road. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, and then they take their left turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Like we're such great drivers that we can comment and judge other people. The people behind us, God knows what they're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I know. As I get older, I know my driving, I think, has gotten less aggressive, but probably less consistent as well. So,
the people driving behind us are like, what are they doing to the GPS?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's the other problem, too, is that I just don't know where I am anymore. You know, if I didn't have my phone, I didn't have my GPS, I couldn't get home. I wouldn't know what I was doing.
We offload those skills, don't we? Once there's a computer that will do it for us, we stop occupying our minds with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. And in fact, you know, we had Matt Richtel on a while ago, and we were talking about just that there were actual scientific studies done of the brain, physical brain structure of cabbies in London. And they did before and after MRIs of their brain structures between having GPS and not having GPS. And after having GPS in their cabs for a year, their brain structure changed. They physically changed the area of the brains that are constructed for spatial recognition and spatial capabilities shrunk significantly. And the things that we do have an impact on us. They do change us. And, we need to keep that in mind, I guess.
I know it. Don't we know it? Hey, you know what we haven't done for a while and I really miss it? Or maybe I've just been off the air when it's happened. Do we have time to do Cool Sites of the Week?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we absolutely can. Although I blew my wad there with the shopping ones. You're right. We haven't really done an official one. You know what? Well, hold on a second, though. I'm going to kick you off for just – no, I'm not. Here we go. I got it right here. Okay.
Kick me off.
I thought I'd have to, but we haven't make it official. We haven't had the official Cool Site of the Week music even. Now, like I said, I feel like I kind of blew my wad a little bit there, but do you have something on tap that you're thinking? What? Yeah,
no.
You give me this lead up and then
why'd I bring it up? I know.
Oh my gosh. All right, let me see.
Well, here's a hot secret. This is a little known website that I've been using a lot lately, really enjoying Facebook.
You may not have heard of it. It's not the Facebook, it's just Facebook. I always call it the Facebook. I'm going on the Facebook just because I like to sound like an old man.
You won't have to work at it. Yeah.
You know, I do have one that I really do like a lot. This is very cool. This is a add-on for Firefox or for Chrome. You can use it if you're a big consumer of Wikipedia information and going on to Wikipedia frequently. This plugin, it's called WikiWand. You can go to wikiwand.com to get it easily. What it does is it actually changes the look and feel of Wikipedia to make it much more easily digestible. It's much more prettier, I guess, is the way to put it.
Much
more prettier. Yeah, I haven't gotten to the grammar part on Wikipedia yet. But it really does. It organizes it better. It sets up a flow on the left-hand side of the screen so that you can easily scroll through and see what the topic headings are. It makes the pictures stand out better. In fact, it even sets one of the main pictures, if there is a main picture, identified as a background for it. You kind of have to see it to understand what difference it can make to you if you're a big Wikipedia user. It's a cool thing.
Ah, sounds great.
And another plugin for Chrome that I use all the time. I'm using it all the time now. It is absolutely fantastic. TechSmith Snagit. Go onto the Google App Store and you will be able to find this. I don't believe they have it for Firefox. It's only for Chrome. But if you put it on your Chromebook, what you can do, or on your Chrome browser, what you can do is it's one-click screen capture, which is awesome. So you can take, you know, screenshots, which is always a useful thing when you're trying to show people how to do things. The other thing you can do with it, though, is it right into it, one click. You can also do screencasting and screen recording, including audio of yourself talking. So, as I said, we've migrated here to Office 365 recently, and there's been some difficulties. Some people have had a struggle picking up how to do specific things, and it's a complicated program, you know, and it's all online.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it is that.
I can send people with Snagit, I can send them a video if it's, you know, a couple minutes that it takes to show how to do something. If it's less than 20 seconds, it'll actually make it into a GIF for me, just a little GIF, and I can send it as a GIF.
Well, that's a very cool feature. But also online, there's like a million tutorials on YouTube and all that as well for almost any scenario in Office.
Yep. Absolutely. Even with the Office 365, I know it's I'm so lazy though. It's like it's so much easier sometimes for me to say, you know what? It's quicker. It's honestly quicker to use this Snagit to record a 1 minute video than it would be for me to try to hunt down and watch and approve of and then send a YouTube video that would do the same thing.
So that's a Chrome extension, you said.
This is a Chrome extension, so you're going to want to go to the Google App Store, the Chrome application store, and find it there. And then the other one, WikiWand, you can get for a multiple of browsers, and that is at wikiwand.com. Oh,
okay, I've got one quick one.
Yeah.
I felt bad for bringing it up.
You should. You absolutely
NetflixRoulette.net. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Netflix Roulette?
No.
What that will do is randomly pick a Netflix movie for you to see if you like it.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And why would I want something completely random? I mean, Netflix spends a tremendous amount of time, money, and programming and developing intelligence into, you know, trying to figure out who I am and what movies I'm going to watch.
How well does that work for you, Michael? You haven't spent, like, not hours, but a long time flipping through their movies trying to find something you like?
The problem in my house is we just have too many people watching under the same account thing, and so you know, my kids and my wife, and then there's me, and it's just a big jumble. It might as well be Netflix Roulette, really.
Well, that's what you could do. You could just rather than pay, you could make it a game. You could have votes, right?
Yeah.
You could just put it up on the screen and, you know, hit roulette, and how does everybody feel about that one? How does everybody feel? So it's not just you then, right? It oftentimes, as the person controlling the computer, you're the one flipping through, trying to figure out what everybody else likes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here would be a way to turn it into a more democratic, more fun process.
And I'm on the site right now, and I got to say, yeah, this is cool. And not only that, but you can also, too, you can filter. You can also set it so that you're only going to see movies that have ratings, you know, higher than 3 or something along those lines. And you can
choose. Good luck with that.
And
that'll save you a lot of time.
Yeah. And you can choose your genre. So if you just want sci-fi and fantasy, I just hit it right now. I said I want something higher than rating 3, and it came up with Arctic Blast from 2010, which is somehow got a Netflix rating of 3.3. So that was my Netflix Roulette spin. I like Netflix Roulette. .net, and it's roulette spelled R-O-U-L-E-T-T-E, which is correct. And that's our cool sites of the week, which we hadn't done for a while. So thank you actually for bringing that up. That was a great idea. And I've got to kick us out. We're done. We got Rob shot first. Robbie Rigel is on deck. He's excited about getting started here with his show. This is gonna be an interesting show for him today. He is going to have on someone who's running for school board in Round Lake here, and I can't remember exactly. Oh, he's going to talk about STEM, which is science, technology, education, of course, you know, math and engineering for kids, and why that's so important for us here. And if someone's coming on air to talk about STEM and wants to be a school board member, I say, hey, vote for this guy. So I don't know who
definitely
it is, but
can't wait to hear
him on. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be listening to that one myself. You may not realize, but I'm now an interim school board member myself for District 76, and I'll be running as well come April. I got to get enough people to sign to say that they want me to run though first. You know, there's this whole process you go through. I got to get 50 people to sign. You can't do it online, so that's a problem for me. I gotta go actually look at people, you know. Well, what's worse, they gotta look at me and then decide.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think you do all right in that respect. Anyway, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. And Jay will be with us next week. Dave.
We miss Jay. Don't.
Absolutely. Always. Yeah. Always. He was down having a good time with his daughter doing cross country. So that's cool. You know, more power to her, and hopefully she did well. And to everyone listening, stay safe. Have a fabulous, fabulous Thanksgiving. Don't get crushed on Black Friday. It's not worth it. Do your clicking and mousing online. Don't go running through the gates at Walmart. That's my last cool tip for the day.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about any of our listeners getting into a fist fight at Walmart.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, and that's, of course, that, you know, next Saturday morning, I'm sure that's all we're going to hear about, you know, online. And YouTube is going to be somebody crushed by this and shot over here for a whatever the new cool toy is this year. And I hate it. I hate this time of year because of this. Oh, all right, I gotta go. Dave, thanks again. Everyone listening, you've been listening to Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights. Do not go away or turn that dial. I've got a podcast. Only song of the week is A Struggle by the band Ringside. And Dave, we'll talk to you next week.
See you next time.
Thanks. Bye. That was Dave Sparky Saganaki. Great to have him on. And I was not lying. We are out of here. I am going to play for you Struggle by Ringside. And we got Rob Schott first on right after this. Thanks again for listening.